You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
He's in.
Welcome to another edition of the Friday Fun Show. Working title: the Around the NFL Guide to All Things Week 8 Related and Beyond. Yes, it's a live stream, so everyone right now on the YouTube stream, what's up? Good to see you. I see the room's already hyperactive. A lot of talk about Giselle. I don't know what that could be in relation to, but yes, we will get into everything that's going on in the league. Joined today by heroes Greg Rosenthal and Mark Sessler, and again, a special guest, just a special guy, Patrick Claibon. What's up, Pat? Good to see you again, bud.
Yeah, good to see you guys too. Yeah, I don't know what people would be referencing other people's marriages about. Mm. It's always weird. It's a weird spot. But hey, this is the Friday Fun Show, and I'm glad to see you guys.
Right. Friday's not fun for everyone. No. Unfortunately. And Mark, how are things judging by your setup in a state penitentiary?
How is that going? Yes, I've been taken in by the cops for a variety of incidents, and so I'm reporting to you live from a local jail just in the valley.
It looks like it also could be like a middle school boys locker room or high school boys, I mean, possibly.
Mark, are you in a boys locker room right now?
No, illicitly. I am not. We can stop the surmising at that stage. No.
All right. Very good. All right. So we got a lot to get to today. Like we said, we have the listeners live streaming, and we're going to be connecting with them. We're going to get some fearless predictions in. We're going to check in on the injury watch ahead of Sunday and Monday's action. We have a new edition of It's About Me. But before that, yes, let's tie a bow on the first game of Week 8, Thursday Night Football.
5-10, Jackson takes the snap, fakes the handoff, drifting backwards, running to the right, fires back at the end zone, caught! Isaiah Likely, touchdown Ravens! His first NFL touchdown gives the Ravens their first lead of the night.
And it was a lead they would hold on to for the duration of the contest, a 27-22 win for the Ravens over the Buccaneers in Tampa. A very nice win for Baltimore in their topsy-turvy season, and another dispiriting loss for Tom Brady's team. 12 hours before it was announced that his marriage with Giselle is over. Lamar Jackson threw for 238 yards and two second-half touchdowns. You saw one of them to Isaiah Likely. This is Baltimore's first winning streak of the season. If you count two games, Patrick, as a winning streak, I count it as momentum, baby. Claibon, you are the number one Lamar stan, so you must have enjoyed the second half, considering he doesn't have a lot to work with.
Yeah, that's the problem. It was the quintessential but at what cost Thursday Night Football win. But you can see when things are up front good, Ronnie Stanley's back, when they have that going, that version of Lamar can show up And no matter what's going on, if it's Isaiah Likely, if it's Devin Duvernay, if it's DeMarcus Robinson looking like a wide receiver one, Lamar can get it done. As long as things are solid up front, it's just for the long term. You hope that Rashad Bateman and Mark Andrews are there, because you can beat a Bucs team that's floundering and Tom's throwing bounce passes without those guys. Mm. But when you start talking January, when you start talking Chiefs and Bills, that's when you really need those guys. But hey, to see them not melt down, because this is honestly, because we say it all the time, a team could be undefeated. This team could literally be undefeated without catastrophic fourth quarter errors. And they didn't make them for the second game in a row. Well, they kind of made them against the Browns, but none today, none yesterday. So, hey, win's a win.
They've been up by 10 points at some point in all eight of their games, which is outrageous. Like, the other list of teams in NFL history who have done that have all been close to undefeated or are these great teams. And the Ravens aren't one of these great teams, but they are a great running team now. 204 yards in the second half. It was bizarre that they passed it 30 times with seven runs in the first half, if only because they've run the ball so well over the last 2 to 3 weeks. After we started the season saying, where's the running game outside Lamar? It's been there. Their offensive line, you mentioned it since Stanley's been back, has been great. And then, yeah, you lose Andrews. Supposedly, he said to reporters, it's nothing serious. Bateman's a foot injury. That's a bigger concern. I think they should trade for someone. But the fact that when Lamar's missing all his weapons, and then you look on the other side, and there was all this talk early in the year how Tom Brady doesn't have any of his guys. Well, they were all there last night. You know, Godwin's there. Evans is there. Julio Jones is back. You know, I know they had a couple offensive line injuries. Oh, by the way, so did Baltimore. It was the offenses for this game that was the difference. And the Ravens offense is a great running offense. And Lamar was 8 for 8 for 94 yards and 2 touchdowns in the second half. So the running game kind of set up his passing game. And that's what you want when you're the Ravens.
I mean, this Bucs team, it's not just their offense that's become unwatchable. Their stamp was meant to be their defense all along. And it's the second week in a row where the injuries in the secondary, I think, contributed to what Baltimore was able to do in the second half, because the Panthers did it a week ago. And when the Ravens mystified me with how they came out in this game with you mentioned it, Greg, like a 32-7 pass to run ratio in the first half. Then I loved what they did in the second half. And we keep talking about who can be this next team in the AFC. Can it be the Bengals? Well, they got some issues right now with injuries. But the Ravens, to me, if they can run the ball this way on teams, and you want to see it game after game, that's the dominant nature of who they've been in the past. And I loved the way that they attacked the Bucs last night, who simply cannot tackle anyone right now. I mean, their defense is a mess.
I think we talked about it on the Thursday preview show. It's time to see some teams graduate from good to very good or even great. I think Baltimore stands as that's a possibility. I would like to see them get some help for Lamar in the passing game at the trade deadline. We'll know by Tuesday if they do. I thought Baltimore scoring on 4 straight possessions in the second half was just imposing their will. And yes, using that running game, 200 yards in the second half. And then on the defensive side for Tampa Bay, like you're saying, that's their fourth consecutive game without forcing a turnover. I mean, that's not sustainable. You need to, when your offense is struggling the way it is, you need your defense to come up with big plays, create short fields. That's not happening. This has been a team-wide kind of meltdown as they have gone from 2-0 to losing 4 out of 5. And we've talked about, Greg, Devin White, and he's one of these veterans in Tampa that needs to step up. And that was a slaughter reel in terms of tape that he put out there in that game, to the point that the TNF crew highlighted it right down to Todd Bowles, like giving him a WTF talk on the sideline. Like, what is going on out there, dude?
Yeah, week after week, teams are picking on Devin White. I think it shows the difference between like the awards that you sometimes send out from the NFL, because he won NFC Defensive Player of the Month in September. And he had a better month in September, but he was getting picked on in coverage then too. And it's just like teams take advantage of his aggressiveness. Not like he's their biggest problem, but he is a problem. Still though, I still put it way more on the offense. Tom Brady didn't look right. Like the most telling 3-play sequence to me of the entire game is after he hit Mike Evans with one of his best passes. And that's the thing that fools you. He has a lot of great passes, really great passes in that game. The one at the end to Julio that got overturned was insanely good. But after he has the 51 yarder to Evans when they were down 11, the 3-play sequence after that, he misses Kyle Rudolph, who is open for a touchdown, and he pats his chest. Next play, he throws a near interception to Mike Evans. One of the seemingly 15 miscommunications to Mike Evans over the last 2 weeks. And Mike Evans, after that play, pats his chest. They line up for a 4th-and-3, and then they have an offensive penalty before the snap, which they've had a lot this season. And then Todd Bowles chooses to kick a field goal on 4th-and-8. And like those four things in a row have been all happening so much. The field goal decision killed me. By the way, they had a touchdown on 4th-and-8 on the goal line later in the game. So it's possible to do Todd Bowles, be a little more aggressive. You just got to try to win it. But it's the offense is just so sloppy. And it's Godwin, Brady, and Evans a lot of the time. It's not just these other secondary players.
What's also, I think, the penalties. I mean, they're just an undisciplined team. And it's such a different looking Bucs squad on that front than the last couple of years. I keep bringing this up. I know, like, it's I'm not going to go into it again. But I just think that the Todd Bowles experience has been a tick down from Bruce Arians. It just has. I don't know. There's some coaching elements to this.
And there's also some personnel issues because they lose Shaq Barrett last night. So that's not going to get any better. And there was one point in the game, Kirk Herbstreit said it was a misread. I honestly think Lamar just saw Joe Tryon Cherenka there as the one defender and decided to keep the ball and proceeded to have a 25-yard run because of that. And then you look later in the game and he's on the bench just watching from the side. I mean, because there's personnel. It's bad top to bottom right now in Tampa,
and
including
you mentioned
the greatest
Shaq
quarterback
Barrett. He's out the rest of the season now.
Yeah,
they reported an Achilles tendon tear, and that's a very thin position, as Patrick just pointed out for them.
One little thing from this game they talked about afterwards, and I think Tom Brady obviously going through a lot on multiple fronts, but that he just sort of sat at his locker in silence and talking to really no one other than Blaine Gabbert quietly and totally dejected. He's never been anywhere like this in his career. And there's one other moment when they lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl, when I really think he was injured in that game, where he sat at his locker so dejected, slowly peeling one sock after the next. And it's like he took those losses hard, but I think where he is right now is completely uncharted territory for Tom Brady.
It's remarkably public how this has played out. And I guess that's not a total surprise because they're two of the most famous people in the world. But even by the standards of Hollywood type gossip and public marriages failing, the fact that it's all been kind of like right at the surface, we don't know any other underlying issues. But the fact that Brady retires 6 weeks later, he comes out of retirement. Immediately you hear that Giselle's not happy about it. And then by Halloween, their marriage is over. And that statement goes out the morning after he loses for the third time in a row for the first time since, what, 2002 or whatever it is. And it's just been, I can't even imagine how difficult this has been for Brady. And you wonder where his head at. That's all fair to wonder. And, you know, you just kind of feel for the guy who seems like he's gotten so much in his life that's gone his way. This feels like some type of karmic retribution that he's dealing with. He's probably like, how did it get to this? So that's a major subplot around this team, too. Like, you don't want to play up the gossip side, Claybon, but it's like, this is playing out with the most important player of the team, and it cannot be helping in terms of his preparation and his focus.
No, it definitely doesn't help. But I do think, because we can look back at Tom's life, he's been through a separation before, right? And we very rarely do the math on how it impacts people on the field when things are going well. But we tend to do that when things aren't going well. And there's any number, because all of these guys are human, and there's any number of scenarios. Dawson Knox's brother passing away a couple of days before he's trying to play a football game. People are always going through things, and it's tough to ask what impact it's having. But I think essentially Tom Brady's done this before. Tom Brady's played football his entire life. The one thing Tom Brady has not done is not play football. And I think that's the thing that's probably more difficult for him to deal with, because he's dealt with breakups, he's dealt with losses, but probably the specter of not playing the game anymore, I think that's more of an issue, because it's tough for me because I'm not in a relationship. The fascination with celebrity relationships is difficult for me, because any relationship that I'm not involved in, I don't necessarily have context for or know why. I doubt that any issue that developed in 2022 is ending a 13-year relationship. I think there's probably other things that go into that, but that's just speculation for me.
And someone in the comments is saying, I'm letting him off the hook. I'm just being blind about how the way he's playing, because I mentioned how he has made really great throws throughout the course of the season. But the reason I mentioned that was because how that contrast to how he's playing otherwise. Last night was, I think, his worst game of the season. One of the worst games I've seen out of him in a long time. Missing open guys, not on the same page. This has obviously been his worst season, along with, you know, 2018 the last, or 2019 the last Patriots season. He's not playing well, and I think last night was the worst that he's played. He was very lucky not to have a few interceptions. And he's 45 years old. He's out there like outside the pocket trying to make plays. It, like, none of it is good on the field either for him right now.
All right, let's check in with the listeners on the stream for the first time. What do you got, Gravedigger?
Gravedigger.
43-3. NFC South, remember when it was great and three teams went through to the playoffs? What has gone wrong? Well, let's go through them quickly one by one. The Bucks, we just got into that. The Saints, we talked about that through the summer, that they could potentially be very good this year or potentially bad, and they're leaning that way. The Panthers, we knew, was a dicey proposition from the start, and I feel the same way about Atlanta. So, yeah, I think really the destabilizing force in the division is Tampa's funk. Like, yeah, for me anyway, that's the only team I felt really confident about as a 10 to 12 win team. So to see them struggle like this, that's to me what really stands out.
Well, think about three of the four teams have a head coach they didn't have a year ago. And I mean, with the Steve Wilkes situation, maybe that's a plus. But it isn't a plus with Sean Payton. It's not a plus so far in Tampa Bay at all.
Right. The Saints fans have to be wondering, like, this is the year that the Bucks fell apart, because they're supposed to be all in. They're pushing everything into the future so that they can sneak out a couple extra playoff spots, and now they fell apart as the Bucks do too.
All right, what else we got?
Honestly, like, pushing, that was the statement, and that was the statement to me when I was down there. But then they trade CJGJ to a contender, and yeah, it's just like the Bears trading Robert Quinn to that same contender, and it's like, what's going on?
There were whispers that that was a Dennis Allen type thing, that had Peyton been there, I don't think he gets traded.
Yeah.
I really don't.
What else we got? What's Greg's favorite Beastie Boy lyric?
Ooh, this is going to take a second.
That's a bizarre.
I don't have one.
That's a rough open question.
I'm not a particular big Beastie Boys fan. Not that I'm not a fan.
Celebrating the 25th anniversary of Deftones' Around the Fur album? These are the questions we have so far today. Let's get back to at least people being concerned about Mark in a boys' locker room or prison or something.
Right. Gravedigger is smoking tree over there. What's going on?
Because I'm seeing great questions over here on the
we're
side.
We're California. It's all right.
We're really throwing Gravedigger under the bus.
I've never listened to a Deftones song in my life. Patriots, ooh, which teams are you willing to stick a
nitty-gritty
fork in? That's an interesting question. I'm wondering if...
How about the team of ATL?
Yeah, you know, this is a weird season to do it. It's way too... The fact that the NFC South could have the Panthers leading it by Sunday night tells you everything you need to know about the state of the NFL. This is not a good stick a fork season.
Texans is the one team I'm willing to stick a fork in.
All right. Michael Morgan, Mark, you shouldn't say smoking tree while detained. That's true. That is top behavior.
That is illegal activity in the state where I am right now. And you,
Vice, how many games do the Giants have to win to stop being overlooked as a playoff team? Ask Greg.
I think they'll be a playoff team because they're 6-1. I think they're making the playoffs. So if you're saying that our opinion is they won't make the playoffs, you're wrong. I think I believe they'll make the playoffs. I believe Mark and Dan believe they'll make the playoffs.
I do.
Also, our opinion doesn't impact their ability to make the playoffs whatsoever.
That's true.
There's a set form already established.
They also could go 4-5 or 4-6 the rest of the way and make the playoffs. So they're going to make it, I think.
Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great to see them really crater? Wouldn't you love it? Johnny Bevan, who's gone first, Byron Leftwich or Nathaniel Hackett? Leftwich, I guess, is a natural fall guy in Tampa, but I don't see it. I think Hackett, as for the reasons we've described, all the things going on up in Denver, new ownership included, is going to be very vulnerable if they don't get the train back on the tracks before December.
Brady wanted Leftwich. You know, there were the reports that he essentially got Bruce Arians fired because him and Leftwich, you know, work so well together. That's part of it.
It's going great.
All right, let's take a break there and hit the horns.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
It's about me.
It's about me.
Me. We're going to know, Jets fans, Sunday, October 30th, 2022 is the day for the Zach Wilson experiment in the Meadowlands. Over the past 3 years, GM Joe Douglas has meticulously rebooted this roster and built it into something interesting. They've gone from laughing stock punching bag to a 5-2 team that is frisky. And with a strong young core in place, the Jets can't wait another year after this to see if Zach Wilson can play. If he bottoms out or he doesn't show mass improvement, they will be in the market come next offseason, most likely via trade, I would guess, for a veteran quarterback. And he's 4-0, Wilson. It should be stated in his starts this year, but his play has been uneven. He's been bad for 2 weeks. And this game on Sunday has a massive, incredible amount of importance to the franchise. Here's an example, which is very funny, and I love these type of stories. Robert Saleh announced this morning that the Jets will set off fireworks 1 hour before the game as a signal for every fan to get into the building by kickoff. Saleh said that the team estimated, and this is awesome, 30% of paying customers were not in their seats in time to see Sauce Gardner's sack safety that kicked off a win over the Dolphins. The goal is that the fireworks show will get Jets fans out of the parking lot for their tailgating and into MetLife Stadium, which is kind of cute, I have to say. Only dads born before 1960 like fireworks and kids, so I don't know if it's going to get in a mass amount of like fans into, but it's a signal and it's fun. The parking lot's fun at the Meadowlands, so I understand that. Sometimes it's hard to, you know, wrap things up and get in there, but I know what the Jets are saying. I know what Saleh's message is here. It's like this, he's saying it too. This game is so important against the Patriots. It's a chance to really make a statement. And Zach Wilson, especially in light of the loss of Breece Hall, so much is on his shoulders to show that he can make big plays and maybe carry a team to a win. And if he does, watch how much rope it earns him with the fans, the organization, and all the players and coaches that are pissed about 54-13 last year for New England. So we can't have him bomb out. We can't have him throw for 150 yards and have like five of those plays where he's under pressure and he does seven spins in a pirouette and has a panic throw out of bounds.
That's a,
we need to move on from that version of Zach Wilson. If he fails, if the Patriots celebrate in that building on Sunday, it will be remembered, mark my words, as the beginning of the end for Zach Wilson with the Jets. I've seen this movie before. What's new is that the Jets have a young, dynamic core all on rookie contracts. Wilson needs to start being the guy now, or it's probably never. Let's go, Zach. Maybe. Probably not.
Dan holding up his Zach Wilson is good shirt. Now, are you suggesting if they lose and he plays poorly that you would be starting to think about bringing another quarterback in right now to while this season's still in a good spot?
This game, just this one game, Dan, this determines?
This will determine whether or not Wilson's the quarterback next year, yes.
Do you think Joe Douglas shares your timeline here?
Yes.
Wow.
Even if people don't want to admit it, this game is everything's been building up to this moment for Zach Wilson and the Jets. Zach Wilson needs to show he's worthy to be the future of this franchise. If he bombs in this game, the season will start to go downhill, mark my words, and they will start over at quarterback.
If he struggles in this game, I don't think we're that far away from a legitimate conversation of, like, should we play Mike White or Flacco, because this is a playoff team. And he'll need to do more than play well in one game to prove it, at least to me, that he's kind of going to be the guy moving forward. But what
it's
this
not
one
just
would
like,
help, for sure.
It's not like if he plays well in this game, then he has a free pass forever. I think playing really well in this game could really build up some momentum.
Ah, there it is.
That the team can then run with, and he could have some confidence moving forward. I think he'll lose a lot of people with a bad performance, especially the fan base. He's going to lose the fan base if he bombs against the Patriots.
I will say, Dan, I'm a little like what makes me a little sad about this Jets season for you is that if we knew in August they'd be 5-2, I wouldn't predict that you'd have this like constant drumbeat of ominous undertones every time you seem to discuss the team. I mean, they're 5-2 in a bad NFL. I think there's a chance they go to the playoffs and win a playoff
game. I understand that. But you know what? If it seems like I'm being negative this week, first of all, yes, the injuries were crushing earlier this week. So I had to process that. But everyone knows like it's about the QB in the league. And the Jets can definitely make strides this year. But if Wilson plateaus or gets worse from where he is now, they're still far, far away with no obvious solution. They still kind of need him to develop to become seen as maybe a true contender in the AFC. So as positive as the steps are right now, there's still a lot that needs to be done and so much at the quarterback position. So, yes, I think any Jet fan, if you ask them that are honest about this, there's apprehension right now. Still, 5-2 has been great. But for the things we talked about, they've beaten a lot of backup quarterbacks. Wilson has not been good overall. There's still reason to not be all in and just acting like the Jets are some type of great team now. We're not there yet.
If I could make one case for positivity, because yes. I feel like, Dan, not just you, but an entire planet of people who have an affinity for this football team have been through a lot. And history has told them there's a lot of reasons to be sad. And I am marking your words. And just like I marked them after the receipts newser from Robert Saleh.
Right.
And a lot was placed on that next game. Right. If we turn the clock back, you might have been ready to dump the franchise as it's currently structured if things didn't go right in the few games after that. I think 5-2 is an okay place to be. I think Justin Fields had a rough start to the season. Zach Wilson's coming back off of knee surgery. His season hasn't gotten to the point, right, where he could maybe start making the improvements that Fields has made in the past few weeks. If it goes wrong, I'm just saying, Dan, maybe it's not the end. Maybe Zach Wilson's okay. That's all I'm saying. Maybe he's fine.
You're entitled to that opinion, Patrick. It's just that, if you follow the Jets as closely as I have over the years, you'll understand there's a bit of fatalism that's built in. And this is a part of the fan experience. So you're using some cold-blooded logic, if you will. But I'm telling you, this is the fan experience. And some of those things don't intersect necessarily. And I am positive. And I do think they're going to win. And I hope they're going to win. But also there's a protection element that's built into this as well.
Yeah,
that's just it is what it is.
Now, I'm going to root for the Jets like for your emotional stability.
It sucks being a fan. I got to be honest with you. It's just tough. It's like, yeah, you're right. 5-2 is an incredible place to be, all things considered. But you're just kind of always waiting as a fan of this team for the other shoe to drop. So prove me wrong. Prove me it's a whole new world now, and we shall see. All right.
It does remind me of that Browns season when they had Kyle Shanahan as offensive coordinator under Mike Pett, and they started 7-3 and then never won another game. And you're just watching a car slowly spin off a cliff into the abyss.
And were you highly invested in that team, and it made it hurt even more after the 7-3 start when they spun out?
You know what honestly got me to believe was an article that Wes wrote, an incredible, back in the ATN days when you just could write about whatever you wanted. He wrote this study on Brian Hoyer on how he was being used in Shanahan's system. And it's like the Shanahan we know now, what he does with every quarterback, but it was working with Brian Hoyer. I didn't think he was the future at quarterback, but it was like, I'm riding this train, but then the train hit a brick wall, a brick wall behind me.
Those are cinder blocks. I think that's to keep the prisoners.
I'm not even sure it's a real wall.
The sledgehammers don't work in a wall that is built that thick. Let's check back in with the listeners before we get into the week 8 injury minute.
Shout out to Greg Sagamoto, who says this is the best week in recent ATN history. Thank you for your work, everyone. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Greg. I think that might be giving some pop to the first episode, the first of many of This Guy Gets It, which really was a breakthrough moment in the history of the podcast.
I think that really set us apart, I'd say.
I feel like, you know, I think people that are not paying attention to that series, I would go and download it right now. Because that's how you just get smarter, is listening to This Guy Gets It. Any questions here? Justin. MB wonders, Mark is podcasting from the corner of the bathroom in a public park. Good Wi-Fi.
Hey.
This is really begging our audio listeners to at
how
least
how many
check,
houses
check it
can
out
Greg trick or treat at before they realize he's a father? Oh, Andrew Goulet.
Andrew, I'm wow. One before they realize he's yours. That's probably the...
what else we got? By the way, anybody like dressing up with the kids and going trick-or-treating? Like, what's the play there?
That's always my plan.
It's my one of my favorite nights of the year, and I'm working Monday night for the Channel 5 coverage of Monday Night Football. And I'm pretty heartbroken because I think it might be Alice's last Halloween that she wants to go with her parents. I don't know. She's in fifth grade. At some point, she might not want to. But I'm out. I'm sad.
That's a bummer, dude.
Yeah.
What can we do about that?
It's a sad story.
On a scale from a scale of seriously, if Adam Gase to Jim Bob
More
Cooter,
like the Friday Dud Show.
Yeah. How much is Joe Lombardi holding back Justin Herbert?
What an incredible scale.
From that Gase really to Cooter.
Wait, so Cooter is the top of the scale of helping someone? I like that.
Is he?
I don't quite get that end of the spectrum.
This scale is on the lower end of the spectrum.
Yeah, okay, Jim Bob Cooter had moments. I think Joe Lombardi is holding back Justin Herbert. But I do think like him not wanting to get hit and the fact that Keenan Allen's been out and the fact that they were already incredibly thin at wide receiver before Allen and Guyton got hurt is part of it. But I do think they need a new offensive coordinator and they'll get one.
All right, now it is time, ladies and gentlemen, for the Greg Rosenthal, get that branding in, baby, Week 8 Injury Minute presented by AcroShore, horse glue for horseshoes. Go ahead.
Chuba Hubbard is not going to play this week after that nice outing a week ago. Zeke is going to be out. We don't know that for sure, but he's expected to miss this week's game. James Conner returning for the Cardinals, most likely after some limited practice. Amon-Ra St. Brown and DeAndre Swift both trending towards playing. Russell Wilson not even on the injury report after being limited Wolverine. In practice. So he's starting in London. Darren Waller might be returning. He's been practicing. Jarvis Landry and Michael Thomas still out. No, they're still out. They're not expected to return. Ryan Tannehill trending towards a return. He was limited. Alan Lazard might miss a game this week, which would be bad. Jahan Dotson is out once again. Nico Collins is going to probably miss this game, which helps out your guys' lock against the Texans. And then finally, and most sadly, and maybe we'll talk a little bit more about this for a minute, is Ja'Marr Chase is expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks, originally reported by Adam Schefter. With a hip injury, that is devastating. And I've heard from multiple Bengals fans, namely Nick Wesseling and especially Spice Rack, who were like you after the Jets injuries, Dan, and maybe to even another degree, because they're worried about Ja'Marr Chase's future, like as a football player. It's sad.
What is it? Is it a fracture of the hip?
It's a hip. We don't know, but whenever you hear hip, it's very, and that it's very vague, it's very concerning.
Yeah.
Well, I would mention that Paul Denner, like friend of the show, mentioned it was a hip flexor strain that it probably wouldn't require surgery, at least, that they think time can help heal. But any, we've always said this, anything with a hip, you're deeply concerned.
Yeah, that's a bummer. The upside would be that, well, there is no upside, but you have Ty Boyd, who really stepped up and had a huge game last week against Atlanta. He'll have a bigger role. T. Higgins elevates. He's their number one receiver. And Hayden Hurst, I think, if you a little fantasy nug out there, he feels like a guy who could have an even bigger role in this offense now, because Burrow's going to keep throwing. I don't expect them to change their offense entirely. I think it might change some things about what they do, because I think they were all ready to just go all out aerial assault as long as this heat streak lasted. It'll be interesting to see how Zach Taylor pivots, if at all, with Ja'Marr Chase on the sideline. Hopefully it's not serious. I understand why Cincinnati fans would feel that way, because this guy is special. It was earlier in that game, after he had scored his second touchdown, where after a play ended, he did that thing, which I can't even imagine what it would be like to do it, where you're flat on your back and then you use like your core to like flip yourself back up from flat on your back. And
it's
it was
easy,
like
it's easy to do.
He was just being braggy in his elite athleticism. And then you see him limping off the field at the end of the second quarter.
Mark's cellmate does that to start every morning.
It's not a hard thing. You just got to practice it a few times. It's second nature.
Mark just wants to get some sleep. But at 5 a.m. every morning, his cellmate does 1,000 pull-ups. And he's very loud and smelly. All right. Time for fearless predictions. How did we do last week, Graver? What's up?
Gravedigger. Not good. Last week was a solid 0-for-5 week for the group. Mark had two that he missed on, including a wide-ranging power outage occurs at one stadium and a mishap involving a player with the team bus. Don't think either of those things happened. Dan, you said Rachel would announce her Jets fandom on Benched with Bonetta. She did no such thing. She did pick the Jets. But
I mean, I've tried to help Rachel. Like, enjoy your Chargers fandom. That sounds exciting.
Oh, yeah. You're having a blast right now. Yeah, right exactly. Now as a Jets fan.
Dan, you're really selling the Jets.
Just struggling your way through 5-2.
Greg said that Belichick would do something inspired by George Halas during a Pats win over the Bears. That did not come to fruition. And Rachel said that Week 7 would be one of the most exciting weekends of the 2022 season, which, like, how do you... I don't even know how to judge that, so I'm just going to give it an X for being wrong. So,
wait, so we're 6.5 for 28 on the season, and yet you guys wouldn't give it to me when I said Cooper Rush would have two interceptions and he actually had three. You should be giving it to me just for the brand to have a little higher number here.
No, you didn't get it.
It's a team sport.
No, you just didn't get it. Mark, you get it. This guy gets it. Check out the latest episode. Amongst the other offerings on our feed this week. Yeah. What's your fearless prediction, Mark, for week 8?
Okay, I know that, you know, offense has been in the doldrums around the league, but we're going to get 3 40 burgers this weekend.
Okay.
Or I'm including Monday night with that. And that is part A of my prediction. Part B is that a referee faints in one of these games. A referee just flat out faints.
Oh,
and,
God.
You know, that doesn't mean you could have a fainting spell because of heat and you're fine 5 minutes later. I don't predict anything worse would happen. But, you know, a human man just faints in zebra clothing.
I can't wait, Mark, until a zebra official faints in one of these games. And then when we find out who it is, it's like the sideline official, not technically the referee. And then we can't give it to you.
No, it's any official. It's not the referee.
But you said referee. Referee's different.
Well, any official. Like, I mean,
it's already, I already saw it.
My prediction will be Mark predicts harm on a human being involved in the NFL this weekend.
I think fainting can be a bodily defense against certain things. It could be a good thing. And then maybe you wake up with a new perspective.
How about you, Greggy?
Well, now I feel bad after all this Jets talk. But I'm going to say my prediction is that Mac Jones comes out. And as determined by a panel of this guy... gets it, or rather Friday Fun Show co-host next week, we determined that he played pretty good in a Patriots win. So they have to win, or pretty well in a Patriots win. And I'm going to just trust your guys' judgment and honesty next week that he has to have played pretty well in a win, and we'll have that vote next week at this time.
There you go, hanging those shallots again.
I mean, they got to win, and he's got to play well. That's
give us
something.
Some data, give us some numbers, give us three scores, or you know, so we don't. You don't need us to be the arbiter. Actually, no.
I thought that would be fun.
Never mind.
It is a fun
Patrick.
Show. So in their most recent three game win streak, the Giants have scored greater than 21 points. The Seahawks defense has not been that great season long. I think they're playing better. I do not think the Giants will score 21 points in Seattle on Sunday.
Okay.
Less than 21 points in Seattle. I'm feeling that. I picked up Seattle's defense.
I locked
my
them
fantasy
up.
League. Mine will be, you know, you saw the Emmanuel Acho madness, his hot take that went viral.
I don't pay attention to him in any capacity. But
all right, don't.
I'm assuming
don't.
It sucks.
But there's this like...
Humble brag.
Wow.
I don't know.
You have the QAnon situation going on. He's sucked into the QAnon. He had this long monologue, or not long, but detailed. Well, not really a lot of details. But he said that Tua is better than Justin Herbert, and the fact that he has more wins backs it up, and all this other stuff. Here's the annoying thing. Maybe he was looking ahead at the schedule because he's got the Lions, Tua, on Sunday. And this Tua Herbert debate, which is annoying to everybody, it's not going to get any more pleasant because Tua is going to have a big day against the Lions. 3+ scores. He'll go over 300 yards and the Dolphins roll. So if you are annoyed by what Brandon Staley has done to Justin Herbert this season, or what bad ribs have done to Justin Herbert this season, and you're annoyed with people saying that Tua is better than Herbert, it's not going to get better after this week. Tua has a big game. Dolphins roll against the Lions.
Okay, so you say three has to be three scores,
three plus.
The debate has to intensify. You just got on me for having vague goals here.
Yeah, well, three plus scores. So at least three scores, and put them over 300 yards passing, and they defeat the Lions. That is
pretty clear. We get a sense of a tipping point with that debate. I think we can judge that. I think it's just next week.
I'm just saying it's going to be more fuel for the Achos of the world, not something we need to measure per se.
Okay.
And we can always put their fire out in our personal spheres by blocking them, not watching any of their programming, and just letting them toil on in futility while listening to people who have valid things to say.
Claybaugh dropping the hammer from his daughter's bedroom. I don't know. I'm just guessing. I don't know where you are right now.
No, I mean, there's only three rooms in the house, but yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Thank you to everybody for watching and listening and following all our content. We know we've sent a lot your way the last couple of weeks, but we're having fun and glad that you're along for the journey on to week 8. And remember what you got to do. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait!
did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.